Verse I want to start in is in verse 3 where the Bible read, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 is a very important chapter of the Bible talking about the coming Antichrist, coming about the one that's going to present himself and declare himself that he is God. And the Bible says that this is going to happen before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches two things must happen. The first is that there's a great falling away. The second is that the man of sin will be revealed. So all those pre-tribbers, they're a lie. You know, it's a false doctrine, has no validity in the scriptures. The scriptures instantly prove that this is a false doctrine. But this phrase falling away first is something that a lot of people, you know, have had different ideas, different ways to interpret. What does that exactly mean? But the Bible's pretty clear that the falling away is just from truth. That there's just going to be a great falling away from truth. And the Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is truth. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We knowing that Jesus Christ is the truth and people falling away from that could be applied in a couple ways. First of all, salvation. Just the fact that there's maybe a lot of people that aren't saved, or there's a lot of people falling away from the gospel. There's a lot of corruptions of the gospel. But I think it could be applied more broadly in the sense that this Bible is Jesus Christ. This Bible, the Word, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of people falling away from the Bible today. They don't believe the Bible anymore. They don't want to trust in what the Word of God says. And the Bible says that there's going to be a great falling away through deception. Look at verse number 9. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." So we see a group of people, they're rejecting the love of the truth. They're rejecting the gospel. They're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the devil is going to be very believable. He's going to use all deceivableness. Everything that he could possibly use to deceive people, he's going to use it so that they won't believe the truth. So they won't accept the gospel. So they won't, you know, trust in the Lord. And because of this, it says in verse 11, "And for this cause," because they don't want to accept the truth, because they don't want to accept God, look what God does to them. "God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure and unrighteousness." So the Bible says there's a group of people, they hate God. They despise God. They despise the gospel. They don't want to believe in it, okay? And because of this reason, because there's such a great falling away, God's going to send a strong delusion, and he's going to damn all of these other people that also had pleasure in righteousness. You say, why do people not want to believe the truth? Why do people not want to come to the light? Because their deeds are evil, is what the Bible says. They don't want to come to the light. And you know, there's a lot of people today, they don't necessarily just hardcore reject God and hardcore reject the gospel, but because they despise the truth, they don't want to come to the truth, they allow all kinds of filth to be spread in this country. And the Bible says because of this, God's going to send such a strong delusion that none of them are going to believe. They're all going to accept the Antichrist. There's going to be a worldwide acceptance of the Antichrist, which is after the working of Satan, is what the Bible says. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just flip over a couple pages. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, look at verse number 12. It says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Here's my question. You say, I never suffer. No one's ever persecuting me. I never go through any tribulation. Nothing bad has ever happened. Nobody lies about me. None of my friends and family members say anything negative about me. There's nothing bad going on. My question is, well, are you unsaved or are you ungodly? Because that's your options. Look, if you're saved and you're living godly, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer affliction. You're going to go through trials and temptations and struggles. My question, which one are you on the scale? I hope that you're saved. I hope most people in this room are saved today. And you know what? There's a lot of people that are saved and they don't have any persecution. You know why? Because they're not living godly. Because they're suffering chastisement. They're not suffering persecution. But see in verse 13, what does the Bible say? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The Bible warns over and over and over about deception, about people being deceived. And obviously those that are unsaved, they're deceived. They're deceived. They don't realize that God, you know, wants them to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not understanding of the gospel. They've been deceived by the devil. They believe the lies of the world, the lies of evolution, the lies of, you know, the secular colleges. They believe all these different lies. They believe that the Bible's maybe not true or written by man. Just all kinds of different lies to stop them from wanting to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or perhaps, you know, false religion, just teaching they have to do all kinds of things to be saved. Oh, you also have to get baptized. You also have to live a good life and you can lose your salvation. All kinds of deception out there stopping people from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and getting saved. But the reality is the deception does not just stop with the gospel. There's a lot of saved people today that are also deceived. There's a lot of saved people that can fall into all kinds of deception. And none of us is above being deceived. The Bible is warning Christians about being deceived. You know this book is written to the saved. He's writing to Timothy, a pastor, and saying, you know what? I'm writing this to you so you won't be deceived. There's going to be deceivers. There's going to be evil, wicked men. And if he's writing to a pastor, how much more people that haven't dedicated themselves to just reading the Bible and studying and praying and doing these things? How much more? There's nobody on this planet that, you know, can't be deceived, that's above being deceived today. Go to Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12. And the Bible even says that these evil, wicked men, they're deceived themselves. They're just pawns of Satan. You say, hey, do you think this guy knows how wicked he is? Probably not. You know, a lot of wicked people, I don't think they understand how wicked they truly are. They don't know how bad they are and how wicked they are. A lot of times they think they're doing good stuff. You know, the Jeffrey Dahmers of this world, when you talk to him, he wasn't thinking that he was doing bad stuff. He was deceived. He's deceived in his own corruption, his own defiled mind. I mean, these guys have defiled minds. They're so wicked. They have no morality. A lot of these people are psychopaths. They're so deceived. They don't realize all the destruction and harm that they're doing. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We ought not underestimate the devices of the devil. Underestimate the deception that's out there. The Bible says that the devil deceiveth the whole world. That's a lot of people. Go if you would to Genesis chapter 13 now. The Bible warns in 2 John chapter 1, for many deceivers are entered into the world. Proverbs 30 verse 12 says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. He says there's people out there, they think they're great, they think they're moral, they think they're godly, and God looks at them and says, you're filthy, you're disgusting, you're vile. When God looks at America, he's not thinking, oh, I'm going to bless this country. He's saying you're disgusting and vile and wicked and ungodly. That's how God thinks about America today. But you know what? A lot of you in this room today are deceived. And you know what? You're deceived by the Sodomites. The title of the sermon is The Sodomite Deception. I don't want you to be deceived by the Sodomites today. You know what? The whole world is falling for this lie, for this delusion, for this working of Satan today. But please, could God's children not be deceived? Could Christians that actually claim the name of Christ not fall for this deception? And you say, well, how could a Christian fall for this? Well, I have 4 points. But the Christians, the Baptists today, they are falling for the deception of the Sodomites today. It is sick. It's disgusting. It's reprehensible. God is looking at us and he's saying, you're so filthy and disgusting. You don't even realize it. People going to church today, they have to be around it. But Lot is a great example of why we're in the situation we're in. Why are people deceived by the Sodomites today? Money. Yeah. Money. Wealth. Look at verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot shows him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, is what the Bible says. Now, I was thinking about this. It's kind of like Independent Fundamental Baptist. You got the one church of Abraham. You got the church of Lot. He's saying, hey, we got to separate. And you can go wherever you want. You know, as an Independent Baptist, you can have your church wherever you want, can't you? I mean, you go to any city you want. You can do whatever you want. But you're supposed to still both serve the Lord. But we see Abraham, he wants to dwell in the presence of the Lord. He wants to dwell where the Lord wants him. But you know what? Lot starts looking out and he says, oh, there's this really rich area. I want to travel over there. I want to set up my church over there. I want to put my tent over there. Even though they're wicked, even though they're ungodly, even though the Bible says they're sinners exceedingly. You say, what does that mean? What does it mean to exceed? You know, a lot of people, you get a traffic violation. It says you exceeded the speed limit. So let's say it was 70 miles per hour on the highway and you go 80, you're exceeding the speed limit, right? That's pretty easy to understand. So what does it say? They're sinners exceedingly. You know what that means? They're going beyond sin. They're going beyond sinful. It's beyond normal sin. It's beyond a normal sinner. Yeah. Hey, we're all sinners. Yeah, you're right. But these people aren't just sinners. Oh, no. They're exceeding sinners. They're exceeding sinful. They're going beyond just being a sinful person. This is a very wicked, ungodly area. And we see Lot, he wants to go there. He wants to hang out with them. He wants to preach the Bible to them. Actually, he doesn't want to preach the Bible, but you know what? And you say, how does an Independent Baptist church do what Lot did? Well, they're so afraid to lose people, they won't preach the Bible. You know why they're afraid of losing people? Money. They know that the tithes and the donations will go down when they start preaching what the Bible says. In fact, I already had people, they're like, they're so afraid of this church after I preach one of my sermons about the Sodomites. And they're so afraid of their job. They're so afraid of all these things. And it's just like, you know, I knew it would happen. But I'm not going to stand up here and water down the message and let our whole world go to hell just so I can get a few extra tithers. Just so I can get a few extra people coming in here and giving money to the church. I'll go get a job. I'll go do whatever. I'll have 4 churches and 10 jobs. I don't care, but I'm not going to compromise on the Bible. I'm not going to be like Lot. I'm not going to go dwell among them. I'm not going to go hang out with them and let their fag cousin come to church. And look, I've been to Independent Fundamental Baptist churches where they bring their fag cousin and their fag son and their queer uncle into the church service. It's disgusting. I'm not going to dwell in Sodom. I'm not going to pinch my tent towards Sodom. I'm not interested. I'm going to stay where the Lord is. I'm going to stay where the Lord wants me. I'm not afraid of losing people. I think it's great. Why don't you go to Sodom Baptist Church? I'm not interested. The SBC. Sodom Baptist Church. I don't want to have anything to do with it. We're Steadfast Baptist Church. Go if you go to Matthew chapter. Well, actually, go to 1 Timothy 6 first. Go to 1 Timothy 6. You say, you're going to lose people. Well, Jesus thought that was great too. John chapter 6. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. He said, you're going to lose people and they're not going to come back. Great! You say, oh, it's a cult. It's not a cult. We're trying to actively get people out. If you're an infiltrator, get out. You know, if you want to go around spreading heresy in the church, get out. I mean, I preach about the dumbest thing on the planet, the flat earth, and I found out there's multiple people I didn't even know trying to evangelize this garbage. I didn't think I would ever have to preach that sermon. I'm just being honest with you. I'm like, nobody believes this junk. It's that stupid. But there's just multiple people. It's ridiculous. It's insane. But, I mean, it's not that insane when you read the Bible because it talks about people being deceived, doesn't it? And trying to deceive and all the deception of this world. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 6. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That's a good verse. Being content with the things you have, the Bible says it's a gain. It's beneficial. Let's keep reading verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. The Bible says to flee covetousness. The Bible says to flee the love of money. The Bible says when you have two decisions and one seems like it's the right decision and the other one's going to affect your bank account, I know which one you should pick every single time. Make the right decision. And you know what? Oftentimes when you're afraid of a financial situation, you make that decision, God will probably just take that away from you. He's going to punish you if you're saved. You really think if you covet that idol, Achan, if you covet that Babylonian garment, you're not going to get destroyed? What, Achan coveted that all that money, and he took it, hid it in his tent. What a great resource, you know? There's some people, they just have all this money in the bank. What does that do for you? You know, think about it. Don't you wear clothes? I mean, what's the point of Achan going and taking the Babylonian garment and hiding it in the earth? Is he going to wear it at night? Like, is he going to get sneak out at night and just kind of put it on and be like, cool, you know? Hopefully it was a manly garment. If you're sneaking on putting some in the night, it's not, you know, you get out of this church. But we see the love of money. It's so wicked. And again, who is this written to? A pastor. People think, oh, well, he's a pastor. Nothing, you know, he's godly. He's doing everything that's right. The Bible's warning the pastors, don't get the love of money in your heart. And there's so many Baptists today, they're so afraid to preach what the Bible says. Why? Because the love of money. These Baptists, they live such a comfortable life and such a nice house. And look, there's nothing wrong with having a nice house. There's nothing wrong with having these things. But if you're going to elevate that above the Word of God, you're a coward, you're a fake, and you need to get some Bible in your heart, not the love of money. Now, let it all burn. I don't care. I can get another house. I'll just live with other people. You know, I don't care. I'm sure someone would take me in. I'm not afraid. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. These churches that have the love of money, they go and they hide like Achan's possessions today. And it's disgusting. But you know what? God's people do the same thing. They're so afraid to actually say that they believe the Bible. They're so afraid to go to a church that actually believes the Bible today. And you know what? They're afraid of their own shadow. They're afraid of a bunch of keyboard warriors online. Look, there's not even anything to be honestly afraid of. That's the saddest part about it, okay? It's not like these people are really happy to, oh, you know, if we go to this church, we're probably going to be stoned to death and whipped and thrown in prison. It's like, you know, someone might say something negative about you on YouTube. You know, it's like, oh, man. Don't stop me now, you know. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, what does the Bible say? He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The Bible says you can be deceived by money today. Money can deceive your heart. Money can stop you from serving God. There's so many people, they stop serving God because of money. Because of their house, because of their car, because of their job, because of their retirement, because of something financial, they stop serving God. They stop going soul winning. They stop going to a godly church. They stop reading their Bible. And the Bible says, look, you need to be wary of the deceitfulness of riches. At the end of your life, you're going to be like, oh man, I'm so glad I didn't read my Bible and preach the gospel, but I just had lots of money. No one's going to think that. No godly Christian. You're going to look at all that vain stuff that you built up on the altar and it's going to burn. Why? Because you're deceived. But because of the deception of money, it allows people to accept the worst filth, to accept the sodomites, to accept sodomy, to tolerate sodomy, to praise sodomy. Why are they doing it? Because of money. They say, oh, if we stand out there and say, we don't accept fags, PayPal will shut us down. Yeah, it will. You know, people stop leaving our church or start leaving our church. Yeah, you'll get all the bad people out. You get all the weak, fake people out, and you'll get just, you know, people that aren't interested in serving God. The same happened with Jesus Christ. You say, you're not like Christ. Well, if I keep everybody in the church and nobody ever leaves, I'm not like Christ. If I'm like Christ, people will leave and never come back. That's what Christ was really like. He was hardcore. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. My question is, where are all the independent fundamental Baptists today? Where are they? They're in hiding. In fact, I grew up most of my life, I didn't even know what an independent fundamental Baptist was. And I bet a lot of you are the same way. I bet a lot of you, you say, I didn't even know what the heck an independent fundamental Baptist was. That's a shame. How in the world can you believe the Bible today and be doing what this book says and nobody knows who you are? This world's gone crazy. They hate Christians. They hate the Word of God. Look, Jesus Christ was not unknown, my friend. Everybody knew him. The Apostle Paul, they're like, this guy came in here too. He's turned the world upside down hither. You know, he's trying to come here and you know, bring his cult with him. They called him a cult leader. He had false religion. You know, he's stirring up trouble. They would constantly falsely accuse him. What does John 15 say in verse 18? If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The Bible says that the world should hate you. If the world does not hate you, you're not like Jesus. Just let me make it plain for you, okay? I made a little video and I was like, hey, where are all the other Christians getting their PayPal shut down? And it's like, it's no marvel the world hates us. But here's my question, why are they not hating them? Not because they're not living godly in Christ Jesus. That's for one. A lot of them aren't saved. That's another. They're Obadiah Baptist Church. You know, and Elisha, he's like the one person that they want to come after. Okay? But then there's another prophet, Obadiah. He's kind of, you know, going under the radar. He's working for King Ahab. You know, he's kind of on the sly. And he goes and he hides 100 prophets. And it's like, where are they? Where are all these 100 independent fundamental Baptist church in Dallas? They're hiding. Obadiah's hidden you. You can't stand up and actually preach the Word of God today? I mean, it's disgusting how a Bible-believing Baptist can live in this sinful, wicked generation and have nothing to preach about. I remember I went to the same independent Baptist church and the pastor gets up and he's like, I didn't really feel like I had anything to preach this week. Just like, how do you have nothing to, I mean, I don't have enough time. I've been trying so hard just to keep my sermons under an hour, I can't even do it. I'm like, how can you be reading this book and have nothing to say? I mean, it's lit up with information. There's more false prophets than I could ever preach against. There's more false doctrine, more heresy, and I don't want to focus just on that. I also want to teach the Bible. I want to instruct people and learn the parables and learn the stories and see the symbolism of Jesus Christ. You know, people that are too bent on just all the false stuff oftentimes are false themselves. You know, what do the Republicans do? They spend 99% of their time attacking the Democrats. What do the Democrats do? They spend 99% of their time attacking the Republicans. Well, they're both wrong, okay? Why can't they just defend their position? They can't defend their position because they're both liars. They're hiding because they're afraid of Jezebel. They're hiding because they're afraid of the boogeyman. But you know what? We shouldn't be afraid of, you know, getting hatred from the world. That's what they're really afraid of. They don't want to be hated. And I notice it's like this people-pleaser mentality that they have, right? Everybody has to love us. Everybody has to appreciate us. So they'll fall all over themselves to allow everyone to love them. The media will show up. They said something the Bible says. Well, that's not really what I meant. We love everybody. We don't want to turn anybody away. We want to encourage everybody. God's got a plan for everybody. Yeah, some people's plans go to hell. It's not a loving message. In fact, the majority are going to hell. And in fact, there's plenty of people in this world, they're already dead spiritually. They have no place but hell they can go. But people don't want to believe that because they've been deceived because of money. They're afraid of the money. Well, I can't get this fancy high-profile job if I have a public stand because they'll hate me. You're right. Why do you need that high-profile job? Because then I can live in my mansion, you know, and then I can have all my 10 sports cars and I can, you know, travel the world and do all these things. Why do you need that? At the end of your life, you'll be like, Pastor Shelley, why didn't you rip on all my covetousness? And I'll be like, I did. You just weren't listening. You didn't come to church. You were on a vacation. You were on your yacht. You were at your job doing whatever. Look, people are deceived by money today. They're so afraid of money. Even, you know, ministers that are maybe in the Southern Baptist Convention, you know, they get a large retirement package by the convention. But, you know, if they actually stood against any of the doctrine of the Southern Baptist Convention, all their heresy, all their rank doctrine, they'll lose their retirement package. Oh, because of the love of money, they won't stand for the truth. They trap them down. They deceive them with money. They try to entrap them with money, don't they? Go if you would to Genesis chapter 13. Go back. Look, and that's such an important point. And it doesn't just affect sodomy. It affects all areas of our life. It'll affect you wanting to go out soul winning, the love of money, desiring money, desiring these things. And look, God's going to take care of you. God is faithful. I'm not saying you have to be dirt poor. People hear this and they think, oh, so I guess if I have no money, I'm godly. Nope. That's not what the Bible's teaching. The Bible's teaching that God's going to provide for you. He's going to provide for your needs. You're going to be taken well care of. And in fact, a lot of people I know are very godly. They do make good money. There's nothing wrong with having lots of skill and being a good employee or having your own business and doing well financially. But my friend, if you're laboring to be rich, you're going to fall into temptation and snare and destroy your life. Don't do it. And you say, how can I know the waters? Whenever you're evaluating money over something spiritual, you got a problem. Whenever there's a decision to be made and you say, oh, it's going to hurt me financially, but it's spiritually better, that's when you know you're in trouble. That's when you know you have problems. And you need to start making those spiritual decisions now so your heart doesn't get so hardened that you won't make those spiritual decisions in the future. What's my second point this morning? Well, Christians today, they're not just deceived by wealth. They're also deceived in thinking that these freak sodomites are normal sinners. They'll say, oh, all sin's equal, won't they? They'll say, all sin's the same, right? What does it say in Genesis 13 where we read already? Let's read it again, verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. It's beyond sin. And let me prove to you from the Bible that not all sin is equal, okay? Go to John chapter 19. John chapter number 19. I wanted to get those exceedingly words in your mind. So when you look at these people, you're like, that's not just a sinner. That's an exceeding sinner. That guy's going beyond sin. It's called reprobate. Now, John chapter number 19, it's going to literally say what every little, you know, liberal Christian's head would explode if they actually read this verse and believed it. Because they say, all sin is equal. All sin is equal. All sin is equal. Okay, well, let's just read a verse and see, you know, if that's what it says. Verse 11. Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from heaven. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. I mean, what else do you need to say? Guess what? Some sins are greater than others. It's not rocket science. That's why in the law, some sins were punished more severely. Why? Because it was a greater sin. Of course, according to the Bible, some sins are worse than others. It's just a fact. The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, you have never forgiveness, is what the Bible says. Horrible sin. The rejection of the gospel will send you to hell for all of eternity. Lying is not the same as murder, okay? Stealing a pencil is not the same as committing arson. These people are ridiculous that believe this junk. And they try to go around and teach all sins equal. All sins the same. Now look, even the smallest sin will make you guilty of hell. Will make you worthy to go to hell. I mean, you just offend in one point, you're guilty of all is what the Bible says. Look, you're a transgressor of the law. You're guilty. You have to stand before God. And the punishment is hell every single time. But that does not mean that all sin is equal. That's a false doctrine. And whenever you have this false doctrine, it allows for you to take the greatest sins imaginable, the ones that are exceeding sinful, and try to normalize them. Well, we're all sinners anyways, right? I mean, I stole a pencil. This guy's a pedophile. So I guess it's all the same, right? No. And you are insane if you think that. You are deceived by thinking that they're normal. Now go to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter number 20. Flip backwards in your Bible. We're going to see the Bible emphasize this point. Verse number 47, the Bible says, it's talking of the scribes, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. Not only are there greater sins, there's greater punishment. And there's greater punishment in hell even. Being in the lowest hell is described as being the worst. Being in the center of hell is described as the worst. And these scribes and these Pharisees are in the worst hell. Why? Because they were exceeding sinful. Because they were exceeding sinners. Okay? Go if you would to 1 John chapter number 5 now. 1 John chapter 5. Yeah, but I don't, you know, even though there's really bad sins, Pastor Shelley, I still think we should pray for them. I still think that we should pray for them and want them to get saved and for God to be merciful to them and to love them no matter what. I mean, don't you just think God has enough love and power to overcome, you know, any sin? No, I don't. And in fact, the Bible will directly tell you, okay, that there's certain sins God says don't pray for. Now, here's the truth. The Bible teaches that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ died for everyone. He took the sin of the whole world upon himself. But here's the problem. Some sins he won't forgive. Let's read it. Let's get some Bible, okay? 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say he shall pray for it. What does the Bible say? It says, do not pray for the sin unto death. And look, some people say, what does that mean? Well, the Bible talks about a group of people in Jude that are twice dead. You say, what's twice dead? It's when they reject the gospel, they hate God, and they die spiritually. And guess what? There's no praying for that person. The only prayer I have is imprecatory. But this context is a prayer for life. I'm not going to pray life into someone that's committed a sin worthy unto death. The person that's blaspheming the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to pray for him to get saved. The guy that's a false, wicked teacher, damning souls to hell, I'm not going to pray for him to get saved. And the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 1 that these reprobate sodomites, they've committed a sin unto death. I'm not going to pray for God to give them life. It's never going to happen. But these people, they think, oh, all sin's equal. No, it's not. Well, let's pray for anything. No, the Bible tells me very clearly not to pray for that. And I'm not going to pray for it. I'm not going to pray for them to have life. You know what they're worthy of? Death. Go to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. These Christians today, they've gone insane. They don't believe the Bible. They have no common sense. They reject the death penalty. They reject punishment for these people. Well, we're all sinners. So let's bring the pedophiles in. Let's bring the sodomites in. Let's bring the most vile, reprehensible people on the planet into the churches. When the Bible is constantly warning you to root these people out. The Bible's telling you, get them out. These other Christians are trying to bring them in. Why? Because they're deceived today, thinking that they're normal. And if you think that a faggot is normal, you're deceived. You're deceived in your mind. You just believe all the lies of Hollywood. You believe the lies of the media today. You just must watch TV constantly. Modern Family. Will and Grace. There's nothing graceful about that show. It's just hell. It's hell on, you know, television. All these movies today, it seems like every single show now has a faggot character. Why? Because they're trying to make it normal to you. They're trying to deceive you. The devil wants to ruin your mind and make you think that it's normal. The Bible teaches it's not normal. Look at verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Look, a normal person can't desire the things they do. It's impossible. As a saved Christian, man will never desire man. Women will never desire women. It's an abomination, the Bible teaches. It is not normal. Now look, it's normal to lie. In fact, oftentimes it's easier to lie than to tell the truth. It's natural. Ask your children. Your children lie to you constantly. I guarantee it. You say, how do you know that, Pastor Shelley? You've been following us around? No, it's just life. It's natural. It's natural to want to lie. It's natural to want to commit fornication. It's natural to want to do the sins and the wickedness of this world. Why? Because you have a sin nature. But you know what? These people, they're not doing natural things. They're exceeding sinful. They're going beyond sin. They're doing things that you can't even imagine. We wouldn't even think about it. If the Bible didn't tell us about sodomy and sodomites didn't exist, we wouldn't even think about it. It wouldn't even be something that enters into our mind. The Bible talks about other things that don't even enter into God's mind. Why? Because they're just so weird. They're so wicked. They're so evil. You know, burning children to death, abortion, pedophilia, these are things a normal person never even thinks is possible. There's a point in your life somewhere, I don't know, hopefully it was when you were older, maybe a teenager, and you first heard about how someone would hurt a child in that way, and you're like, I didn't even think that was a possibility. You never thought it was a possibility. That's because it's a vile affection. It's something that would never happen normally. You know, I went to this conference called Make America Straight Again. And the reality is, you say, why is this world so crazy? Well, it didn't always be that. It wasn't always that way. America was not the way it was 5 minutes ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago. It is much different, much different. And my question is, why are we embracing all this change as Christians? Did the Bible change? Did the Bible radically change 10 years ago? My King James Bible hasn't changed a word since it was translated in 1611, period. So why in the world is everything changing? It's not from God. That's for sure. You know what's coming from? The working of Satan. He's deceiving people, thinking, oh, it's normal now. Let me just read for you. I got an article. It says, homosexuals and the death penalty and colonial America. Let's learn some history real quick, okay? Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, they're worthy of death in verse 32. But it says in 1776, what is that date famous for? Declaration of Independence, exactly right. Okay, that's when our country was formed, America. That's where you live, all right? It says, it appears that in 1776, male homosexuals in the original 13 colonies were universally subject to the death penalty. He said, when our Declaration of Independence was signed, every single person in America all agreed, put him to death. You say, what was America like back then? It sounds a lot better. They actually believe the Bible. Oh, make America straight again. Why are you saying that? Well, it used to be that they were all put to death. Everyone agreed. Every single person agreed. And look, everybody wasn't saved. It's still the same. Let me read some more information for you. It actually came from England. In England, in 1533, under Henry VIII, he made it a capital felony for any person to commit the detestable and abominable vice of buggery with mankind or beast. He says in 1563, it remained unchanged until 1861. So for virtually 300 years in England, it was always put to death for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And these are the people that gave you know what book? This one. The King James Bible, the Word of God. They gave you all kinds of other English versions at that time too. It says, now they said, they called a lot of the people here Puritans, okay, in their religion. It says that they are a self-identification of Puritans in legal matters. It says because they were showing the Old Testament clearly and their laws. Let me read for you the preamble to the Connecticut laws of 1672. So before you give all the laws, this is just what they said about their law in 1672. The serious consideration of the necessity of the establishment of wholesome laws for the regulating of each body politic hath inclined us mainly in obedience unto Jehovah, the great lawgiver. You know where it talks about God and our declaration, our creator? You know they're talking about Jehovah. Jehovah God, the great lawgiver, who hath been pleased to set down a divine platform, not only of morale, but also of judicialness, suitable for the people of Israel. So they said, you know what? God gave great laws to Israel. They were so wonderful. I guess that's where we should get our laws too. They were starting a nation Where should we look to get some laws? Should we look to Mother England? Should we look to the Queen of England? Should we look to, you know, her, to Great Britain? They say, you know what? Let's just look to the Bible. Let's look to the laws of the Jews. Let's look to the great lawgiver, Jehovah. That's what they said. It says the first American code, okay, it says capital offenses liable to death. This is what they had in 1636. These are the ways that you could be put to death. Treason, murder, witchcraft, arson, sodomy, rape, buggery, and adultery. That sounds familiar. If you just read the Bible, it's like basically the same list. Basically, they just read the Bible and said, hey, let's just believe this. That's why the Bible says in Psalms 19, the law of the Lord is perfect. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You want to be wise today? You want to follow God's laws. You want to look at the great lawgiver. Now, it's amazing that 1,600 years after the Lord Jesus Christ, they can still look back and say, you know what? We should follow the Old Testament. But today, new Christianity says, oh, that's Old Testament. Well, how come for the first 1,600 years of Christianity, they kept looking at the Old Testament and using it? Were they all wrong? Were they wrong when they looked to the Bible for their laws? I talk to Christians. They say, I don't agree with the death penalty. I said, based on what? Well, I just don't think it's right. Well, the Bible has the death penalty. You think it was right then? Well, it was right then, yeah. I mean, it was good for God to do it back then. So, you know, what changed? Well, we're in the New Testament. So how should we base our laws then? Well, just whatever's right. So it's just whatever's right in man's eyes? You just do that which is right in your own eyes? Yeah, I mean, basically. Well, I said, well, before in this country, all of them were put to death. So was it right back then? Because that's what they thought. So when did it change? Why did it change? Look, it's insanity to base your laws on anything but the Bible. You're just saying, I pick my own laws. I think everybody has to wear a green shirt. And I think we all stand on our head. And I think we do whatever I want. You know, who's to say? God already gave us great laws. And whenever we look at the laws of the Bible, we look at them and say, that makes sense. That's wonderful. I wish our society was like that. If you don't think this way, you're deceived. You're deceived by rapists, you're deceived by murderers, and you're deceived by the sodomites. To not want to put these people to death, you're deceived today. The Bible's laws are great. They're wonderful. That's what the Bible teaches. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore to do and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes. Notice this, all these statutes, every single one of them, and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. You know, when they heard Leviticus 20:13, they said, this is a wise and understanding people. This is great. That's what they say. Look at verse 7. For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them? As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments, notice this, so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? He says when people look at the laws of God, you know what they say? That's righteous, that's great, that's wonderful, how awesome. I mean, they're just in awe of the laws of God, saying, what a great society to live in. Because if you get a bunch of people together and say, how are we going to govern ourselves? They're like, I don't know, you know. Should we just do the biggest guy gets all the money and all the food and all the women? Like the barbarians? Like the Vikings? Like the kingdoms of the nations of the heathen? Or you could look at this and say, oh, wow, that's wonderful. Justice, righteousness, equity, things that are good, wholesome, you know, putting to death wicked people, putting evil away from among you. When you look at God's laws, it's amazing. There's nothing better. But we have Christians today, they look at the laws of the Old Testament with disgust. They say, I can't believe you think those people should be put to death. That's so evil. That's so wicked. No, you're evil. You're wicked. You have a defiled mind. Never speak against God's laws. The law of the Lord is perfect. I like all of them. I look at them with awe and wonder, and I say, how great are those laws? I wish we had those laws. You know what? I'm not going to apologize for wanting all these people to be put to death. It's wonderful. It's righteous. It's great. What a great society we could live in. You know, the Bay Colony, when it was making capital punishments, it said in Section 8 of the 1641 law, if any man lieth with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed abomination. They both shall surely be put to death. That sounds familiar. That's literally what the law said. They said, hey, let's just take what God said, put it in our law, and believe it. But it's like, where did we go wrong? What happened? Astonishingly, this phraseology was to remain on books of at least one American state, Connecticut, until some 46 years after the Declaration of Independence. Do you know when they were signing all that religious liberty stuff and the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights? You know what they were thinking? Well, the sodomy laws are great, though. So why are we changing them based on that? It was never based on that. We're supposed to have the freedom of religion, according to our fathers, according to the fathers of America. But you know what? They loved the sodomy laws. They loved the capital punishment laws. They didn't want to change those. They thought they were great. They wrote the same ones. The same people that penned down all of the Declaration of Independence are the same ones copying the laws of the Bible. But today, Americans are saying, oh, it's unconstitutional. You're a liar. You're a deceiver. The same people wrote the same laws. So you have to say, well, we want to change it contrary to the Constitution. Just say we reject the Constitution, we reject the Bible, we hate God, but they don't want to say that. They want to say, oh, we love God. God's more loving. God's more kind. You're a liar. You're a deceiver. And there's many deceivers entered into the world. Don't think it's strange. Don't think it's confusing. Let me read for you again. New Haven Law of 1655. This is what they said. If any man lieth with mankind, as a man lieth with a woman, both of them commit abomination. They both shall surely be put to death. Then they put in parenthesis Leviticus 20:13 in the law. You know what they said after that? And if any woman change the natural use into that which is against nature, comma, as Romans 1:26, she shall be liable to the same sentence and punishment. How is it that the Christians that founded our nation, when they wrote our laws, they're literally writing Leviticus 20:13 and Romans 1 in the same paragraph? And then today, when we actually get up and preach it, you're teaching something new. Y'all are a cult. Y'all are starting some kind of a cult. No one's ever believed this. Look, every American believed this for hundreds of years. That's what we were founded on. That's how we got started. And you wonder why God blessed them so much. I know why. Because they had righteous laws. Because they were trying to do what the Bible said. It says this in the law, okay, of America. It says, let me find the beginning of this sentence. It's really long. It says, if any person or persons shall commit any other kind of a natural or shameful filthiness, called in Scripture, the going after strange flesh, or other flesh than God alloweth, by carnal knowledge of another vessel, then God in nature hath appointed to become one flesh, whether it be by abusing the contrary part of a grown woman, or a child of either sex, or unripe vessel of a girl, wherein the natural use of the woman is left, which God hath ordained for the propagation of prosperity, and sodomitical filthiness, tending to the destruction of the race of mankind, is committed by a kind of rape, natural begetting force, though the will were enticed, every such person shall be put to death. Now, it's interesting that hundreds of years ago, you know what they tied together? Sodomy, pedophilia, and bestiality. And then a Baptist preacher stands up and says exactly what this law says, and he's crazy. I'm crazy. Well, you're going to have to call every single one of the founders of our nation a bigot and, you know, this Christian bumpkin or whatever. They all believe the Bible when they wrote these laws, at least. I'm not saying they were saved, but at least they were copying what the Bible says and being consistent with what the Bible taught. And they call it sodomitical filthiness. I mean, that's great. I like that. They're calling it filthy, disgusting, against nature. They're just taking what the Bible says and believing it, my friend. I'm going to keep reading The laws finally weakened in 1876. So for hundreds and hundreds of years, we believe the Bible as a nation. Then it starts to weaken. Then they stop putting to death. Then they start just giving them life in prison. I'll just kind of shorten. I'll give you the shortened version. In 2003 is the final time in America where there wasn't any laws against sodomy. That is not that long ago. So it just weakened and deteriorated and got smaller and smaller till eventually in Houston, Texas, a guy was arrested for being a sodomite in 2003. It was like a few years before because that was like the court case. It's like 2001. But in 2003, the Supreme Court basically ruled a constitution, you know, it was unconstitutional to have laws against sodomy. It was a technicality. They were saying, well, it's because, I'm not going to explain it, but it was a technicality. It wasn't even that they were not against sodomy. It's ridiculous. So what happened from 2003 to 2019? Do we have a great spiritual awakening? Oh, we just realized the Bible never taught that, you know. Oh, we just finally got more godly. I see our country getting more wicked by the second. I'm afraid of the bobsled to hell we're on. I feel like we were on that roller coaster. It was like, I mean, it's just going straight down. And nobody wants to stand up. Everybody's so afraid of their own shadow today. And they just believe so many lies today. America's always believed this. I'm not the crazy one. They're the crazy ones. You're not the crazy one. They're the crazy ones. In fact, even the police have gone crazy. Pastor Grayson Fritz of All Scripture Baptist Church was a detective, and he got up and just preached what the Bible said. He didn't say anything worse than I just read from our own laws. In fact, he might have been more mild than these laws, the sodomitical filthiness and all the things they're describing in here, okay? Telling to be put to death. Well, he's forced into early retirement for believing the Bible now. You know, what happened to the police? I looked up, you know what the police used to do? They used to raid all these sodomite places and put them in jail. I looked it up in 1903 in New York City, the police department raided the Airston bathhouse and arrested many of them and put them in jail. In 1918 in San Francisco, they had the Baker Street raid. In 1929, they had the Turkish bathhouses in New York City raid. In LA, in 1959, they had the Cooper's Donut Shop in the morning, filthy, disgusting hellhole at night. They came and arrested many of these sodomite freaks. In 1966, they had the 21st Street Baths Houses, police raid in San Francisco. Again, in San Francisco, another year, the Gene Compton Cafe. In L.A., in 1967, they had the Black Cat. They arrested them. In 1969, the L.A. Police Department arrested a Dover Hotel. In 1969, the New York Police Department arrested them in the Stonewall Inn. In 1970, in New York, they arrested a bunch of sodomites in the Snake Pit. That's an interesting name. All these devils. You know how many they arrested? 167 sodomites in these bathhouses. So the police are literally hearing that there's a sodomite bathhouse. They go in and arrest them and put them in jail. 1978, the Liberty bathhouses in San Francisco. But in 1976, the California state legislation finally made a law that it was illegal for the police department to raid bathhouses. That's when it starts changing. This baby boomer generation. They think they're so clean in their own eyes and they're not washed from their own filthiness. Letting all this filth and abomination come into this country is disgusting. In 1991, in Florida, the Copa and Club 21 was raided by police officers. In 2009, the Rainbow Lounge in Fort Worth, Texas, had police officers coming in and arresting these freaks. In 2010, the Club Dallas in Dallas, Texas, had a complaint and officers came in and arrested a bunch of sodomites. And guess what happened the next week? The officers got fired. That wasn't that long ago. But of course, I'm the crazy one, right? You're the crazy one for believing the Bible, even though the police department, not long ago, is literally arresting these people, arresting these freaks, okay? Now, all of a sudden, if you get up and say that it's, you know, disgusting and wicked and vile, you'll lose your job as a police officer. What happened? You've been deceived into thinking that they're normal. You know, there was this documentary going out by the LA Police Department in 1961 called Boys Beware. They literally make a whole documentary exposing how sodomites are trying to take boys and do things to them and harm them and hurt them. And they say it's a sickness of the mind. They say if you're a sodomite, you're sick in the mind. You have problems. They said, beware of men that are too friendly. You know what the LA Police Department, they understood that flattery is wicked. I mean, it's like, how can the world believe the Bible and we don't believe the Bible? What changed? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you have to believe that Christians for literally thousands of years have been wrong. Now we're right. Now in the last decade, we finally got it right, didn't we? Just love them and treat them with respect. The Bible says in Malachi 3, for I am the Lord, I change not. The Bible says in Psalms 119, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God does not change. You know what he said? They shall surely be put to death. That's the Bible. And he doesn't change. His opinion is the same beyond time. Before time, after time, during time. It's all the same. Put them to death. How can a Christian not argue for the death penalty? You despise God's word. You know, the mayor of Tennessee, or that area, Knoxville, I think. The mayor of Knoxville, where Pastor Grayson Fritz is at, he said that his sermon was, you know, reprehensible and vile. He doesn't think fags are reprehensible and vile. He thinks the Bible is reprehensible and vile. And he was glad that they forced him to take early retirement. Let me go to my next point. Go to Matthew chapter 22. You're deceived if you think that they're normal today. They harm so many children. They harm society. But you know what? You're deceived because they say, well, they're so loving. They say love wins. Well, you don't know what love is then. The Bible says in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know what that tells me? Leviticus 20:13 is love. It's loving God and it's loving your neighbor. And the person that doesn't want the sodomite to be put to death, they hate God and they hate their neighbor. Don't tell me you love me and you want to keep the sodomite around. You don't love me. And you don't love God. We're supposed to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, with all of our mind. Everything that I possibly have, I'm going to love you. And I want to love you too. That's why I'm telling you, these people are sick, disgusting, they're not of love. And that's their slogan, love wins. Well, love will win. You know what? I wish love would win, because that would mean Leviticus 20:13 to be carried out. That's how love would truly win. Go, if you would, to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Look, they're not loving, they're criminals. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, it has a whole instruction of how the government ordained by God is supposed to put people to death. It says, you know, but if thou wilt do evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. The Bible says evil is supposed to be put to death, even in the New Testament. Romans chapter 13, look at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. The Bible says that it's not ill to put sodomites to death. It's love. It's true love. True love is to put the predators to death, to put the sick psychos to death. Now, I'm going to give you some statistics to tell you why. I've already said these in another sermon, but maybe we need to be reminded. Pedophiles, whenever they check for pedophiles, they check to see if they're a sodomite, okay? And whenever they check to see if they're a sodomite, okay, they also check who they target. And this is important because some people, they think, well, I got this faggot cousin or this faggot uncle, but, you know, we're supposed to love him and hang out with him. You know that these predators oftentimes harm family members more than non-family members because they have more private access to them. They can take them away. And in fact, most people, when I find out that they've been molested or they've been hurt, it's almost always by a family member at a family reunion, or they hung out with this uncle or this cousin. It should be so much the more that you separate from a family member that's a sodomite, let alone just the strangers. But the ones that are the family members, they're going to lie to you. Oh, but he's so loving. No, he's not. He is not loving. He does not love your child. But you being deceived and thinking that he loves your child, you'll get him around him, and then he's going to harm him. Then he's going to hurt them. And you're going to be like, whoa, I was deceived. I thought this guy was a nice guy. I thought this guy was loving. Believe the Bible. Believe Romans 1. Believe Jude. Believe 2 Peter. They're criminals. When they get the statistics and they hurt a family member, the female targets, they're usually hurt 81 times. They don't hurt them once. They don't hurt them twice. 81 times is the average. The average times they hurt the male, 62 times. If it's a non-family member, so this is where they just take advantage of somebody they don't, you know, they have access to. These are like your Catholic priest, your Catholic pedophile with his altar boys. When it's a female target, it's 23 times. So in fact, it's less when they're not a family member. But obviously, probably the Catholics make up for this big disparity here because they have all their altar boys or whatever. But when it's a non-family member and they're targeting boys, these pedophiles, they hurt them 281 times on average. How could you sit here and think that they should still exist? And you want to bring them into the church? Look, I went. I keep telling you this because it's because I know it happens. I went to an independent fundamental Baptist church, and the family that was in charge of the nursery had a faggot son. They had a faggot son. And this faggot would come into the church. And guess where he would hang out? In the nursery with the sisters. You telling me that I'm going to take my kids to some church like this and drop them off in the nursery? You're crazy. Yeah. You're a psycho. You hate your children. And this is not the only church that's like that, my friend. They're all, a lot of them are like this, whether you want to admit it or not. And look, any guy that wants to work in the nursery, I'm already questioning him. I don't want to work, you know. Now, I worked in one as a teenager, but that was because it's the only job I could have. And, you know, a lot of kids, they like hanging out with other kids. But a grown man that wants to skip going to hear the preaching to hang out with a bunch of 1, 2, 3-year-olds, he's sick in the head. I don't trust him. I don't want you to touch my kid. You know, there was another guy in that same church. So they're having a Q&A with the new pastor. We're going to get a new pastor. And the way they did it is they let, you know, everybody vote or something like that. But they brought this guy before, and he has to, like, go through some Q&A. And this one guy stands up, and he's like, so what do you think about someone who maybe had some, like, homosexual tendencies and maybe kind of made some mistakes in the past and still not really quite sure? And I told my wife, I was like, never hang around that guy ever. Asking for a friend, you know. Look, they're everywhere. They're infiltrating. I already preached about how all the Baptists in this area, they're constantly bringing them in, ordaining them as a youth minister. It's disgusting. What? You say, how are they? Why are they doing this, Pastor Shelley? They're deceived. They think that these sodomites are loving. They'll tell you that. They'll say, oh, no, I know a sodomite. He loves God. You're deceived. Oh, I know a sodomite. He loves Jesus. You're deceived. Oh, I know a sodomite. He loves children. You're deceived. You're deceived if you think these freaks are loving. They hate God, and they hate everything that's holy and righteous and pure. They want to ruin it. They want to destroy it. They want to harm it. But you're so deceived today. Whenever it's a trans freak, they hurt children 670 times. Oh, do a drag queen story time? They want to hurt them twice a day for a whole year, basically. And people are literally voluntarily bringing their children to listen to these freaks, to let these freaks have control of them. Now, when they hurt children, you say, how many people are they hurting? Well, when they hurt females, they hurt about 19 of them. Whenever it's males, they hurt 150 of them. They're implacable. They weren't satisfied with the one. They weren't satisfied with 15. They weren't satisfied with 100. They averaged 150. And look, this is an average. That means a lot of them did more than that. These Catholic priests, you know, you don't even want to know how many people they're hurting. It's disgusting. Go to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. To think that they're loving, you're so deceived today. You're rejecting the fact of how evil these people are. And in fact, the same thing happened in Judges chapter 20. Because in Judges chapter 19, you had a bunch of sodomites wanting to harm people. They kill a lady. Then the children of Israel gather together and unite as one man, and they come under their brethren, and they say, Benjamin, Let us have these wicked people. Let us put them to death. It sounds like, hey, Steadfast Baptist Church yelling at all their Baptist brethren saying, hey, let's put these freaks to death. And they say, oh, I don't know. They're loving. And you know what the Benjamites said? They would not hearken to the voice of their brethren. They heard the sermon. They heard the message. They listened to the law of God. And even though the children of Israel are saying, let us put them to death. Let us put them to death. No, we're going to fight for them. And in fact, a lot of these Baptists, they're not on our side. They're on the other side. They're fighting us. They're saying we're freaks. They're saying we're the cult. Why don't you get up and actually say, I think that the American Constitution was wrong. And I think every Baptist for the last 100 years are wrong. Well, they're not going to say that because you know what? They worship the church fathers, don't they? They worship history. But then if they actually got up and said what history said, it'd make them look like an idiot. It'd make them look like a fool. To get up and say, oh, all these Baptists, they wanted to put them to death, but I think I'm right now. You just sound like a queer. Look, if you don't want to put them to death, I question you. Why do you not want to put them to death? What do you got hiding in your closet there, buddy? Look, they think fags can love God. That's not what the Bible says. And you know what? I'm not ashamed of the Bible. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. It says in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, whosoever there shall be ashamed of me and of my words, and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You know, I get all these things. You know, Jesus doesn't like you. Would Jesus like that sermon? Well, look, I make mistakes. I say things that are wrong. I misspeak all the time. But you know what? I don't think that Jesus is mad when I quote Leviticus 20:13. I know that he's not mad. I know that he's not mad when I get up and I teach what the Bible says, because that is Jesus. And look, if I make a mistake, show me, I'll fix it. But you know what? These people, they're not going to show me how I made my mistake. They just want to criticize. Say, all right, you're not loving like Jesus. No, you're deceived. If you can show me how I'm wrong, I'll fix it. I always tell people, hey, show me in the Bible where I'm wrong, I'll fix it right away. It's strange how they can't do that. It's strange how they're not willing to do it. Where's all the sermons trying to correct us on Leviticus 20:13? I don't see any of them. In fact, they don't want to touch it. They will not preach on that verse in the Bible, will they? They won't say what their opinion is. Ephesians chapter 6, go there. I have one last point. So this is a long sermon. Great. I want you to not be deceived today, okay? And look, the deception is going in every facet of life. In your workplace, they're trying to deceive you. In the workplace, they want you to sign paperwork that says you won't discriminate against faggots today. In your workplace, they want to put you in special little meetings to help all the bigots not learn to hate them. Why do they have to train us to not hate them? Why do they have to try and get people to, you know, forced to sign documentation saying they won't hate them and they won't persecute them and they won't do evil to them? Why is it that the government has to try and pass laws so you won't discriminate against them, so you won't hate them, so you won't despise them? Why is it that the news media, it's the only story they want to cover and they only have one side to the story? All these people are so loving. They're so kind, even though they're like, every other story is how a sodomite couple adopted a child and molested them. They're letting them adopt children today. I want them to be put to death. Every other Christian's allowing them to adopt children and thinking it's great. This baby-picking garbage. You know what? If they didn't embrace this false doctrine of baby-picking, sodomites wouldn't even allow to have them. You know what? I don't like baby-picking. I don't like taking a little newborn away from its mother. Why would you do that? Yeah. Oh, because it's going to stop abortion. No, it wasn't. You're deceived today. But you know what? They got them to believe the lie about baby picking so then they can let sodomites steal babies from their parents. And look, if a child's, you know, destitute and an orphan, like, take them in. That's great. The spirit of adoption is, you know, of the Lord, okay? But I do not believe in stealing children from their parents, ever. That is never right. Stealing a baby. Stealing an infant. Now look, if a parent, you know, abandons their child, the Bible even teaches this. There's some children where their parents just abandon them. Their parents are in jail, you know. The parents leave them at the doorstep and run away. You know what? I'm going to take care of that child. I'm going to love that child. I'm going to do good unto that child. But you know what? I'm not going to take my $10,000 ransom and hand it to some lady and steal the baby from her. But you know what? Because we did this wickedness, now we're letting sodomites take these children and harm them constantly. It's disgusting. My last point, you know what you're deceived about? The war. There is an all-out war right now. And you're deceived because you don't realize it. You don't realize the war that we're in. You don't realize the spiritual forces at work right now. The devil and his minions are working overtime to try and corrupt and pervert you and pervert this nation and to destroy this nation and for there to be this strong delusion that people would believe a lie. You know who's coming? The Antichrist. He wants to destroy this nation like all the other nations. He wants to destroy Christianity. He wants to destroy the truth. He wants to get people to stop believing this book. Why has there been so much of an explosion of false Bibles today to destroy the truth? Why has there been an explosion of abortion and fornication and wickedness to get people to love unrighteousness and hate the truth, not want to come and hear the truth being preached? Why is there an explosion of sodomy today to get people to reject the truth? There is a full-scale attack right now. We're at complete war. I mean, godly men of God are being tested and tried right now. Are you going to serve God or mammon? And praise God, a lot of them, they're saying, I'm going to praise God. I'm not going to praise mammon. I'm not going to let them intimidate me. And look, this is light of fiction. It's only going to get worse. But we're at full-scale war. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You say, well, what they do in private, it's not bothering anybody. Well, you know what? It bothers me. And you know what? It bothers Jesus Christ too. He didn't say, well, if it's in public, put them to death. He said, if they do it, put them to death. You know what? It bothers me. And you know what? It's not because, you know, what they do in private is harming society. It's what they're doing, you know, not just consenting. It's what they do and it's non-consensual too. And they're lying to you and deceiving you. There is a spiritual force at work in this nation, in this world, because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Satan is coming in here deceiving you. That's why I read so many verses at the beginning. He's deceiving. He's deceiving. He's deceiving. And you're deceived into thinking, well, everything's going great. I mean, I still have my job. I still have lots of money. I can go get some food right now. You don't realize the war you're in. And that's what the devil likes about it. The devil likes the fact that you don't even realize you're in a spiritual battle right now. He doesn't realize that you coming to church and hearing the Bible preached is you actually fighting against the enemy. You going out and preaching the gospel this afternoon is actually fighting the spiritual battle. You going to a church that actually stands for the truth is you fighting the battle today. You know what? Your church attendance matters. Don't think that it doesn't. You know what? I'm not going to go to one of these churches fighting for for Belial. I'm not going to go to Benjamin Baptist Church. I'm not going to go to Obadiah Baptist Church. I'm not going to go to Sodom Baptist Church. I'm going to go to the church that God wants me to, Steadfast Baptist Church, the one that's unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because if you're not for Christ, you're against Him. Look, if you say, I'm not going to go to church, that's what the devil wanted. Say, I'm offended by this sermon. I don't want to go to church. Well, that's what the devil wants. The devil wants you to be offended. The devil wants you to get the love of money in your heart. The devil wants you to believe the lies. They're normal and nice and cute and funny, and I'm going to drop my kids off. You're going to destroy your life. I'm trying to scream and yell and warn you about it. I can't even preach hard enough. I'm afraid that God's wanted me to preach harder and I can't even do it. It's so disgusting. It's so wicked. They're implacable. And you think that they're going to be placated? Never! What have we been seeing? A constant deterioration of our laws, a constant deterioration of morality in this country, a constant deterioration of the church, a constant deterioration, and they will never stop until everyone is sodomized or dead. That is their end game. That is when they will stop. You say, why don't you just let them do whatever they want? Look, you know what they want? They want for this church to be burned to the ground and all of you to be dead and to sodomize your children. That's what they want. So when you say, well, let's give them whatever they want, that's what they want. And you're deceived if you think anything else. You're deceived if you think these sodomites are going to be placated with gay marriage. You know what they want? They want to marry children. But in fact, they don't care about the marriage. If they could drop the marriage charade, they would. They're not interested in that. They're interested in as many partners as they can possibly have. And they want the ones that are pure, too. They want your kids. You say, why are they infiltrating Baptist churches, Pastor Shelley? Because your kids are pure. Because your kids are righteous. Because your kids are holy. Because they have innocence about them. Especially the homeschoolers. The ones that are not putting them in the public fool system. These kids have a pure mind. They're precious. And you know what they like to do? They like to harm that which is precious. And they're at war right now. They're trying to get into your church. They want to pass legislation that's going to allow them to come into this church or this church to get shut down. Because if this church gets shut down, now they have access to your kids in another way. Or they just want your kids to be forced to go to the public school system. And guess what? When they go to the public school system, you know what they're going to have? Drag queen story hour for your kids. Aren't they? And they're going to teach them to probably dress like a fag too. They'll probably have queer time dress up and have like, you know, nap time with the queers and whatever. I mean, who knows? You think I'm joking. You think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. That's what's coming. That's what they want to do. They want to sodomize every single kid. Did you read Genesis chapter 19? It said all the people, old and young, from all the quarter, everywhere, every single spot, all of them. That's what they want, every single one. And anywhere they can find one that's innocent, they're going to beat the door until they get them. They're trying to beat down our doors. We have our conference where we just believe the Bible. We say nothing different than what the laws used to say, and they're trying to beat down our doors to stop us. Did you read Genesis 19? It's not a shock. It's scary to me, the condition we're already in. And it's a spiritual battle today. The sodomites will never stop until there's a bullet in their head. And that's what I want for all of them. Every single one of them. Whether it's self-inflicted or government-inflicted, doesn't matter to me. They both sound great. Or just by a foreign invader. I mean, I don't care. You know, it's sad today when Muslim countries have more godly laws than American. You know, there's Muslim nations today, they still put the sodomites to death. And look, I'm not advocating Islam. I'm not advocating another false religion. But they have more godly character in that area than Christians today. And here's my question. If every Muslim feels that way, why are they not all being fired? Do they believe different than us? Every Muslim that's a practicing Muslim that believes in Islam, they all believe that sodomites should be put to death. They preach that sodomites should be put to death. When you go to their countries where it's run, they literally put them to death. It's not an unknown fact. Okay, but then a Baptist pastor gets up and says, I think the government should put them to death. We'll fire them. But what did the Bible say? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why do the Muslims not suffer persecution for that? They're not saved, and they're not godly. But you see, when a saved person and a godly person stands up and does it, now the whole world freaks out, don't they? Oh, someone that actually believes the truth thinks that? Well, let's just fire him and let's persecute him. But we can't persecute the Muslims that believe that. We can't persecute the Hindus that believe that. We can't persecute the majority of the world that believes that. All of Russia has laws against sodomy. And India has laws against sodomy. And these Muslim nations put them to death. And many African countries put them to death. Oh, but this Baptist pastor, you know, he's so crazy. And then Trump gets up and says, I want to try and make it legal for fags everywhere. That's my goal. That's my agenda. When was that the job description for a president? To spread abomination and filth. Oh, God bless America. You want America to be successful in that? You know, and guess what? That was Hillary's mission. Oh, they're so different. They're all so different. Like, they're all reprobate virtually. The war language they use, this is one of their slogans, unite, resist, enlist. They're enlisting against you. They know all their language is war language. They're trying to actively attack you and to harm you. And most Christians, they're like, I don't like gay marriage. It's like, is that what the Bible says? Why are you hiding, Obadiah? What are you afraid of? If God be for us, who can be against us? Why aren't we standing on the housetops preaching the word of God? We have the light today. The darkness doesn't comprehend it. The darkness is afraid of the light. The Bible says when we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. You know what? I'm going to resist this garbage, this trash. You know what? You've been deceived today. We've all been deceived at some point in our life. We've all believed some of these lies. But the Bible says we're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. When Paul talks to Timothy, he says he's fought a good fight. You say, man, it sounds like you're trying to go to war. Yeah, that's the Christian life. You're supposed to be a good soldier. How good a soldier are you? Well, I don't fight anybody. It sounds like you're a bad soldier. Go over to John 12, last place of your turn. The Bible says we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith. The Bible has war language. Why? Because it's a spiritual battle. You say, where do you fight the spiritual battle, Pastor Shelley? Right here. By getting up and preaching the truth. By letting it go out. By going out and preaching the gospel. By knocking doors and you opening your mouth and making known the mystery of the gospel. That's how you fight. By taking a stand for the word of God. By saying, yeah, I believe the Bible just like everybody did in America. In the 1600s, 1700s, in the 1800s. And then some people in the 1900s. Almost nobody now. But I still believe it. I still accept what the Bible teaches. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You can't be like Lot and live amongst them and be around them and it not affect you. How could Lot live with these freaks? Because he accepted the lies. He was deceived by the wealth, wasn't he? He was deceived by the wealth, so he allowed himself to go and dwell among them. There's so many Baptists today. They've accepted the lie, so they'll go to a church, and the church will literally have faggot on the row right in front of them, and it's fine. They'll tolerate it. I mean, they don't like it. It's vexing them. You know, they think it's disgusting, but they won't stand up and say, that's gross, get them out. They won't quit their church, will they? They're not willing to fight. They're just going to stay in Sodom. And you know what happens to Lot? Nothing good. He destroys his life. Don't be a Lot Christian. Don't be a Lot Christian that's going to a church and just accepting and tolerating this filth. Go live with Abraham, okay? Go dwell with Abraham. And look, Abraham was wealthy. It wasn't like the option was dirt poor and Lot. Abraham had great wealth. He was dwelling well. He had abundance. It was great worshiping and serving him. Look, some people think by coming to this church, their life's going to be bad. Or going to a church like this would be bad. Your life's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. You're going to have great riches in heaven if you serve God for the rest of your life. But don't be like Lot, where it's like, well, it's one couple. And then it's three couples. Then it's 10 couples. Then it's the church. United Methodist Church. I mean, the guess who's coming up to preach the Bible? A sodomite, literally. Like, it starts small and then it grows. It infects everyone. The Bible says in Psalms 12, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. It sounds like you're saying everybody's bad. Well, the Bible says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. It's hard to find godly people today. It's hard to find people that love the Bible and love God. You know, I want to surround myself with as many of those people as I can find. You know what? I'm not interested in compromising. I don't want some godly and some fag sympathizers and, you know, some heretics. I mean, there's some churches, they got a mixed bag of all kinds of junk going on. I'm not interested. I want a church of just red hot, you know, fire-breathing Baptists that want to go out and preach the Bible and believe the Bible and serve God. The Bible says the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Faggots are being exalted today. They're being praised in this world, and that's why we have so many wicked people walking. Look at John chapter 12. This is the last verse I have. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. The Bible says sometimes you have light, but it's not permanent. If you don't walk in it, you won't have it. If everybody gets up and walks out of this church, where's the light in this city anymore? If you have the light, walk in the light. If you know the truth, believe the truth. Do the truth. Don't be deceived today. And you know what? I could be deceived. You can be deceived. We can all be deceived today. But if we read our Bible and we go to church three times a week and we pray to God and we go out soul winning, we can reduce that deception to almost nothing. We can let the truth come into our lives. We can believe the light. We can walk in the light. And we can see all the booby traps. We can see all the cockroaches. We can see all the filthy dogs everywhere. And say, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be around that. And the Bible says when you're light, you know, the darkness will flee. They'll want to run away. They're not interested in hanging out and being your buddy and being your pal. When you're spreading light, you know, I got like 3 Make America Straight shirts, you know, from the conference. I'm excited to wear all of them. So the darkness will just run away from me. One about King Asa and one about just Make America Straight again. I think it's great. It's wonderful. I love it. I'm not ashamed of the Bible. I'm going to try and walk in the light as much as I possibly can, because if I don't, God will just remove our candlestick, won't he? And then we won't have any light. You make a difference. Don't let the devil deceive you. Here's my bonus point, all right? You are important. Every single one of you. And your children are extremely important. Never think that you're not important. Don't be deceived into thinking that you don't have a voice. Don't think that you can't make a change right now. We're in all-out war. And we need every single person to band together as one man and to champion for the light. And look, I believe if we all are serving God, the Bible says, look, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I'm not afraid of the future. I'm not afraid of the persecution. I'm not afraid of what they can do. I think our church can grow and thrive. In fact, oftentimes when they persecute and afflict God's people, they grow. As this world gets crazier, there's going to be more people that are going to say, wow, y'all seem sane. Everything you said is actually true. Wow, the Bible makes a lot of sense. Wow, the light, I like the light. I want to come to the light. But when we all turn our lights off too, everybody's wandering around in the darkness. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. So let's turn our lights on as bright as we possibly can. Let's just keep pumping out more truth. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for this church. Thank you for giving us so much clear instruction from your word. Thank you for Father's Day and all the fathers in this room. I pray that you would just stir men's hearts to want to make a change in this country, to stand for the truth, to stand for light. I pray that you would just strengthen us through your Holy Ghost. You would strengthen us through your word, that we would not be deceived today, that men would not allow their families to be deceived today, that men would love their children and their wives, and they would love their church, and they would love you with all their heart, so that we would not allow the lies to come in and destroy us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.